In a world totally focused on the individual, God calls us to live in radical community, where many come together as one. So, instead of moving through life, struggling through on our own, we're invited to be part of a family. A family that loves one another, forgives one another, and always fights for one another. A community of faith that reaches out to serve those around them, but always comes back together in pursuit of true and lasting unity. A family that journeys together with a common purpose, creating friendships that multiply endlessly, so that in Jesus we remain committed and connected to one another, in beautiful harmony with one another, loving and living for one another.
Evening, everyone.
Evening.
It is so good to see you. It is so good to see you all here. This is this feels like a momentous occasion. It feels like, this is a trial run for this venue. But it feels like a really good way to kick things off. So, like Chloe said at the very beginning, we'd love to hear feedback from you in how you find this venue, what you think, and any thoughts that you have. Because actually, because we're looking to start something in the morning venue. In fact, let me hear all the YoPro and professional older people who are like, I'm on a morning service. Yeah, including the babies. We've got the baby here. We've got our crush
and
already.
Parents.
Yeah, and the parents. Yeah. It's not about you. So this is a really exciting time. Now, I don't know, honestly, whether any of this will get to be online. So I feel like this is like an old school time when if you are in the building, you get to hear it. The words of wisdom that I'm coming to give to you this evening are probably they're a one-time deal. We may get lucky, but this is probably what it's going to be. So tonight we are talking about a difficult, contentious topic, an offensive, challenging, trigger warning word, and a word that begins with S, ends in IT. And that word is, everyone say it?
Submit.
Submit, very good. There's a little moment I'm thinking, this might go horribly wrong. I've been talking to a few people about this message because this whole series is about one another's. So if you're new to Metro, if you're a little bit on the outside looking in, or if you're a guest, if someone's brought you along, if you're just checking things out, we have for the last 3 weeks been looking at what makes a community run, what makes family work, what makes relationships really, really sweet. And it's a really fantastically timed message and series, because if we ever needed to be reminded that church is not the building, then it's now. We don't have a building. We don't have a regular venue. We don't have a lot of the things that we normally use to do church. But what we do have is one another. If we can work out how to be with one another, then that is something incredible. If we can work out how to deeply love, realistically love one another, then I think what we're doing is we're giving the world something that is desperately needed. We're modeling to those around us. This is how we do community. People want community. People want belonging, and they want authentic community. So many people have communities that are temporary, they're fragile, they're based on where you work, or they're based on a friendship group, or they're based on geography. But actually, the Church of Jesus Christ gives us a family which is irrespective of whether we're all the same, whether we're not a friendship group or a family group. And actually, when we talk about submission and submitting, it can be this really, really challenging word. Is Susanna here tonight? Susanna came to my house yesterday and I said, hey, look, Susanna, I'm speaking on submission tomorrow. And her face just crinkled up. She curdled, a bit of sick came into the back of her mouth. And she looked at me as if I just said the most offensive thing. Because submission, when it's done wrong, can be incredibly harmful. And there may be some of us here that have experienced abusive, controlling, unhealthy, dysfunctional leadership. There's some people for whom, if you talk about submission, you immediately think, oh my goodness, this is the rise of the patriarchy. Because submission has been a word that's been used to keep women down. Keep you in your place. Keep you in a box. Keep you underneath someone else. And it can be so toxic, it can be so unhealthy, so unhelpful. But what you need to know is that if it's done right, submission is literally the secret sauce that makes relationships really, really powerful. That takes a community and a family, a group of people, into a whole brand new level. So what we're going to do this evening is we're going to look and see a little bit about what Scripture says about this thing, submission, this secret sauce in relationships. How does it fit in? Is there a way to do it correctly? And have we been missing out on something? What I'm going to give you is I'm going to give you three levels of proficiency in this whole area of submission. Because again, when we talk about submission or we think about submission, very often in a scriptural context, people immediately go to the whole thing about wives and husbands and relationships and all of that stuff. And so much teaching that is out there has been unhealthy, unhelpful, and unbiblical. That if we understand what submission is truly all about, we'll be better equipped to handle those things. So when I put this series together, first of all, I thought, oh, I really want to talk about submission. I really want to talk about that whole thing of how it works in a family, and how it works in a marriage, and how it works in the job, the work kind of scenario. Because these are all things that the Bible then goes on to talk about. But I thought, actually, what would be the most helpful thing that we can do is to fundamentally understand what submission is. What are the principles? What are the safeguards? What is it motivated by? What is it for? And if we get that right, you'll be able to do your relationships in a better way. You'll be able to do your marriage, your romantic relationships, your family relationships, even the workplace out there. You'll be able to do those kind of relationships much, much better. So we're going to look at submission and we're going to see how we go. And like I said, there's three levels of proficiency. But I have warned you up front, this is a difficult topic. And if you need to, you just should right now steel yourself. Because I'm going to say some stuff in the next few minutes. And at some point, you're going to react. You're going to do the Susanna face. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just a reality of us trying to deal with something that's been handled in a very negative, unhelpful, unhealthy way. But also, something that keys into and kind of challenges something innate within most of us. We don't like even the good form of submission. We don't like even the good form of putting others before ourselves. And so there's always going to be a little bit of a reaction. So expect that, challenge it. But listen, we are Metro. Amen? Yeah. And Metro is a place that goes there. We don't mind going into difficult, challenging topics. We're okay to go into those things. So we're going to use this verse from Ephesians. But before we get into that, we actually need to know the context because that makes all the difference. So this word submit, the most powerful, strong, heady evocation of this is in the 5th chapter of Ephesians. And I want you to see where it starts. It starts this with verse 1. It says this. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Everyone say, live a life of love.
Live a life of love.
Just as Christ loved us. That's the context. So if I'm ever saying anything in these next few minutes that sounds to you unloving, then I've failed you. I've done you a disservice. I've not been able to put it correctly. I've not been able to match up to what I'm trying to say instead of what the Bible is trying to say. Anything that we talk about submission that does not sound loving and freeing and like the example of God, we've not really got it right. So that's my disclaimer. It means that if you hear anything, you think, actually, Philip, that doesn't sound loving to me, then just disregard it, because it has to be utterly, completely loving. And it's the example of God himself. And so it says, if you are going to follow the example that God gives us, if you're going to be like dear children of God, with a faith that puts stuff into action, not just believes a bunch of propositions, and if you want to live a life of love, This is what you need to do. How many of you want to live a life of love? Give me a hand. Thank you. It's like a dumb question. You have to put your hand up to that, otherwise you look like an idiot. But honestly, I believe that we do want to live a life of love, because a life of love is the most fulfilling kind of life. And so Paul says, I want to live a life of love. And this is what a life of love looks like. And then he goes on. He talks about praying with one another, worshipping together, encouraging one another. He talks about being filled with the Spirit of God, because God is love and His Spirit is a spirit of love. If I'm filled with the Spirit of God, then I can love others around me. And then he comes to the kind of climax of his whole list of things. Of this is what it looks to live a life of love. And he says, submit. Submit. That is the context. And then he carries on to explain it to one another. Everyone say one another.
One another.
Out of reverence for Christ. Two really important things before we get into the different levels. The first thing is this. It is all about love and it's all about Christ. It is all about me revering Jesus, about my love for Jesus, my appreciation of Jesus, my respect for Jesus, how I feel about Jesus. That motivates how I move and act towards other people. But secondly, this is so important. It is voluntary. It's voluntary. There's no passage in the Bible. You know, there's a whole bunch of letters in the Bible that are written to leaders telling them how they should conduct themselves and how they should lead church, like the books of Timothy and Titus. Nowhere does it say to leaders, tell people, get people to submit to you. No, this is a kind of, we are voluntarily out of our own free will choosing to submit to one another. So it's a voluntary thing. It doesn't work if it's coercing. Sometimes it is coerced. Sometimes it is demanded. Sometimes pressure is put to bear, whether that's emotional pressure or social pressure or whatever it may be, and that's when it becomes toxic. Where it becomes the secret sauce, the really great part of living a life of love, is when it's offered up freely and it's offered up to one another. There's a mutuality that happens here. So, the first level in which we are going to submit, level one for submission, is actually you submit to community. You submit to community. There's three different levels and you kind of go, gets a little bit more intense the further that you go on. But the first thing is, I'm submitting to a community. Submitting to a group of people. That's why it says submit to one another. You see, we're used to, in our world, pyramid structures of power, where there is the great kind of unwashed population at the bottom, and then it gets more and more hierarchical until you get the kind of pointy person at the top who's pulling all the power, pulling all the strings, and that they have their way and they get to do what they want to do. But the Bible's idea of submission is this kind of weird thing, and it really shouldn't work, but it's you submit to one another. It's not a pyramid, it's a circle. In other words, it's this kind of dance of each one of us putting ourselves under the other. And it's a challenging thing. It's a challenging thing for our society, because right now, more than any other point in time in history, our culture is all about me. It's what we call expressive individualism. You know, back in the day, the biggest religions used to be the world religions, you know, Buddhism and Islam and Christianity and all those things. But now the biggest world religion is me-ism. It's all about I am the answer to my own needs, my own prayers. I just need to be true to myself. I just need to be real about who I am. The most important thing that I am is who I feel myself to be. That's my identity. The most important thing I can do to be happy, to be fulfilled, is to express myself, is to be myself, is to show my own thing, to look within. You do you. I've just got to be me. I can't conform to your rules. I can't conform to what other people want of me. I have to be true to myself. Do you know there's good in that? But effectively, it's not what the Bible says is ultimately a way to freedom. And it's not a way to fulfillment. It's a way of putting humongous pressure on yourself. And I think we have a culture that is all about expressive individualism, and it's rife with mental health problems. Because suddenly everything is all about me. If I've got a dream, you've got to find a dream within yourself. If you are looking for a solution, you've got to find the solution within yourself. If you're looking for identity, you've got to find the identity within yourself. And that's fine if you feel strong and everything's going well for you and things are looking good. But the moment things go difficult, you've got no one else to look to help you. It's just you. And if you fail, that's all on you. You see, the Bible says it's not about you. That's the whole point of Christian living. That's the whole point of Christian community. So, Paul, when he writes to the Philippians, he says this. Philippians chapter 2, he says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition, meism, or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." The word submit, it literally means to order yourself below. And Paul says, this is the key. We submit in community. In other words, groups, families, community, they only work when people are not in it for themselves. They work really, really well when people lay down their own agendas in order to serve and submit to a wider group. It's not about my preferences, it's not about my needs. It's about what everyone else needs and how can I serve the others. And so the first level of submission is just submitting to a group. It's submitting to a kind of a family unit, a community unit where we can be together. We really take this seriously in church. It means we have our midweek groups, our hubs, where we gather people together and say, let's practice this stuff. Let's work it out. None of this comes naturally, but it has to be worked on. I have to get better. I have to get competent at putting others' needs above myself. How many of you know the story about the long spoons? Hands up. Yeah, theology student, wife, clever, intelligent person. Lydia Marshall, snappy, sharp, and she knows. If you don't know the long spoon story, or you just don't like putting a hand up, it's a kind of classic cheesy story that has its roots back in the medieval ages, I think. But it's basically a picture of heaven and hell. And in hell, you see this room, and it is a banqueting table, and it has this most incredible meal set out for it. But it's in this kind of communal pot in the middle of the table, and it's bubbling, and it's radiant, and aromatic, as we say in English. And it's this kind of incredible, delicious, fantastic meal. But everyone around the table is emaciated and hungry and depressed and on the edge of death. That's hell. Because what they've got is they've got this pot to eat, but they've only got these long-handled spoons. So they can put the spoon in the pot, but when they bring it to their mouth, the spoon is just too long, the handle's too long. They can't get the food into their mouths. And so it's like a torture. Like, I've got this thing, but I can't feed myself. Next room is heaven. Exactly the same room, exactly the same table, exactly the same meal, exactly the same spoons. But here everyone's laughing, joking, fat, healthy, and bloated. And the reason is, you see them feeding. They put the spoon in the soup, and then they don't feed themselves. They feed everybody else. They serve one another. And in that way, they get to have this fantastic, wonderful banquet. And that's a kind of, it's a funny little picture, but I sometimes come back to that one, because I think it's a healthy picture of what submission is supposed to look like. If you want to fulfill yourself with expressive individualism, it won't work. It's like trying to feed yourself with a long-handled spoon. Side note, I don't know why they didn't just eat, you know, handle the spoon like close to the thing. It's like, it's okay, it's not difficult. But that spoils the illustration. Maybe it's a really hot or it's a magical spoon. It's a metaphor. The point is, ultimately, I'm laying down my life, my preferences, my agendas, my desires. I'm subjugating that in order for the sake of the group to do well. Now, in most groups, we're not that far away from one another. We're not that different to one another. But say in a hub, there are different ways that you can approach a hub. You can be in a hub and say, you know, I'm in this hub because right now it suits where I am. I get a lot out of it. I like these kinds of people and it's all fun. But you can be in another kind of situation where actually this group of people, they're a little bit challenging, they're a little bit difficult. I'm not sure how much I'm going to just enter into this thing. Or you have a time when you go to Hub and you enjoy the Hub. If you're not part of Metro, Hub is our midweek groups. They happen in homes and cafes or venues all over the city in the evenings in the week. They're the heart of what this church is all about. But a Hub could maybe do a social. And one kind of person says, ah, oh, it's a Hub social. They're doing bowling. Oh, I don't really fancy bowling. I'm going to tap out. I'm going to give it a miss because I don't really want to do the bowling. First off, that's not great. Second off, what do you mean you don't like bowling? What's wrong with you? Bowling is great. Everyone loves bowling. But there are, you know what I mean? There's a kind of attitude that says, it's not quite what I want. Whereas a person that's submitted to community, on that level of submitting to one another, says, actually, this is good for the group. And this is a way in which we can build something special together. Or else the group might be going out and volunteering at the Wild Goose, or one of the things that Emily's involved in. And you say, ah, yeah, I'm a bit tired, I'm a bit worn out, I'm not really up for this, I'm not going to do that. And what we're doing is we're just living our lives for ourselves. It's long-handled spoon living. That Jesus calls us to follow his example. For others, it's not the kind of the social thing, but it's in discussion that takes place. You know, when you have the discussion, you feel like the absolute model of Christian spiritual maturity is to give everybody the answer to every question that is asked of you. And whenever there's discussion, who's nodding and there's some stuff that's being sorted out in Hubs right now, I can feel it. Actually, that's not necessarily the way to submit to others. Sometimes the way to submit to others is to allow others to express their thing. Even if you might feel like that's basic, or that is wrong, or I'm not sure, or they're taking their time. You know, sometimes Kate, she's a wonderful woman. She's a lovely wife. I wasn't going to say this, but sometimes I'll be telling her something, and she's, oh, and then she just complete my sentence. She said, you're taking so long. And it's hurtful for me, and it's hurtful for people when you do that in a discussion, or a discussion. And the question that we need to be asking ourselves is, how can I submit? Put myself under my desires or my natural inclinations or my kind of my selfish ambition, as Paul puts it. My kind of vain conceit, my drive for myself, my expressive individualism. How can I subject that to a better purpose? The purpose of the group. You know, how can I bear with a group when there are awkward people in the group? Do you know, most of all, most of the time, there are awkward people in Hubs? Yeah, you know that? Right now you're thinking of the awkward person in your Hub. Also, some of you are thinking, no, there's no awkward person in my Hub. Yeah, I'm not going to say it. We're all thinking and we've been wanting to talk to you about it for ages. You submit to community. Second level of submission, you submit to leadership. This is level two. Now, the idea of submitting to a group of people, a people that you are sort of in peer relationship with, that's fine. But submitting to leadership, that can actually be the point at which we think, oh my goodness, I'm not sure about this. Because there are so many abuses of leadership power. Most of our experience of leadership outside of the church is not fantastically brilliant. If we look at our political leaders, it's not great. I don't want to get political, but it's not great. But the sad thing is, when we look at the church, it's often worse. There's spiritual abuse. There may be people here, you've had experience with church before, and you've actually felt subjugated and dominated and domineered and controlled. I remember one Hub that I was in just a few years ago, there was a young woman in it, and she had this kind of sadness about her because she was in her late 20s, but she said, I never got to go to university. He said, why? She said, and I quote, my pastor did not let me. He said, it's not the right thing for me. He said, it wasn't God's will for my life. He said, women don't really need to get an education because you've got other things that you can do and you can stay in the home. And she had this incredible spark, intelligence, potential, but it was snuffed out by abusive leadership. And when you say, you want me to submit to leadership, that suddenly becomes this really, really challenging thing. Or we just feel like, you know, who are you to say what? What we shouldn't have people in charge, we should all just do our own thing. Actually, there is something in Scripture that talks about how if something's going to work, and if we're going to go in the same direction, then we do need to have leadership. Is it okay with this mic? It keeps cutting in and out. You can handle it. I just talk louder in those bits. But there's a desire and a need for leadership. But you have to be really, really, really careful about what kind of leadership that you're talking about. Otherwise, you get this toxic, dominating, top-heavy, heavy-handed leadership. I'm going to give you right now, and this might be worth the price of admission, but this whole message, if you've heard nothing else, this alone might be helpful for you. Because the Bible gives us one solid, phenomenal key in how to handle this whole area. And it comes in this kind of little offhand moment where Paul is writing a letter to the church in Corinth, this Greek church. And he says this, he gives a shout out at the end of his letter. And he says this, he says, "You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to submit to such people, and to everyone who joins in the work and labours at it." In other words, he says, listen, there are people that if you submit to them, you'll be done harm. It's not a safe place to be. But Stephanas, he's a guy who has devoted himself to serving. You see, submission, it has to be the circle. It has to be, I'm submitting to one another. We're submitting to each other. And the definition of submission is just putting yourself under, putting yourself below. And a leader, by definition, in scriptural terms, is someone that puts themselves below. They're the servant. Jesus says, whoever wants to lead must be the servant of all. This is the example. This is the model that I am giving you. This is what it looks like. And so you can submit to someone who is a servant. In fact, this is the key. I would say, never, ever, ever submit to someone unless they are devoted to service. Don't submit to someone unless you know that they are a servant. Now, the more you carry leadership in the church, the more you have to lay your life down for others, and the more submitted you have to be. I feel like I have incredible, I have to submit myself. You know, the coming into kind of a more senior leadership within this community makes me so much more submitted to those that I am answerable to. But I'm happy to answer to them because I know that they serve me and I know that they lay their lives down for me. For example, Rob Scott Cook, he is the founder and the godfather, the OG of the whole Woodlands church family, started the whole thing in the early 80s. I have been submitted to him for many years. Sometimes I'll say, I want to do this, Rob, and he will say, yes. And sometimes I'll say, I want to do that, Rob, and he will say, no. Lean in. Just lean in 1 second. So I'm going to tell you something. It's probably good that this is not being recorded. When we started Metro 6.5 years ago, I wanted it to be a morning service. It's true. It's true.
Crazy.
It is true. I wanted a morning service. They said no. I begged. I pled. I said, please don't make me start an evening service. It's so hard. You attract flaky people who come in and out, you know, and we'll probably get loads of students, and they haven't got any money, we'll die, we'll starve, we're going to be famished. Please, let us start a morning service with good families, good people, respectable people, people that don't just chop off every 3 years. Let me start a morning service. They said, you're not allowed to. So I said, I submit to you. Why? Because that man prays for me. Because when I was homeless, that man brought me into his house. Because that man has been behind me. Because that man has given me hour upon hour upon hour upon hour of his time and his energy, his resources, because he has literally washed my feet. I can serve someone who serves me. I can submit to someone who serves me. And I can submit to someone who is submitted to someone else. Now, in Metro, we have a high view of leadership. We think that if we're going to accomplish anything that's worth doing in this world, we need to have leadership. We want to develop leaders, as many leaders as we can. But the way that we look at it is the leader has to be a servant. We don't choose leaders based on talent, but based on service. I'm going to look at who is the person stuck in the chairs helping. Well, in fact, everyone with a blue t-shirt. We're so grateful. And actually, I don't need to labor this point because we have an amazing serving culture in this church. But you just need to know that anybody that has a leadership role or responsibility is they're a servant and they're chosen for their serving qualities. Because serving is the thing that literally qualifies you for Christian leadership. And Paul says, don't you dare submit. Don't you dare follow the lead of anyone that's not serving you. You know, there's been some controversy about churches recently and exposés about church leaders who have these lavish, extravagant green room experiences where everyone's waiting on them hand and foot, and then you've got some kind of hapless, unpaid intern and volunteer team who are being flogged to death. I don't know about that, but it's not what we want. It's not what we're after. We're after leadership that is laying down its life. I felt like I was a little bit harsh on Kate. I've got the mic, and so it's my opportunity to strike back. But actually, you will not find a more servant-hearted woman than Kate Gennardo. She washes up all the cups every week that you drink out of. Back up, hold the cup up. Kate washes that cup every week. None of the others. She washes the t-shirt. She spends hours with people. I'm sometimes like, Kate, you give people too much time. Be like me. Be stingy with your time. No one knows. They feel, you know, they're happy to not see me, to be most of them. Maybe that's the clue. But seriously, she serves. And so we can be in mutual submission. It's not like there's a hierarchy and a pyramid. It's like, help me as I help you. Let us serve one another, but let us go in the same direction. And when we invite people to come to leadership, we're saying, this is the direction, this is the lead that we're trying to provide. And if you don't feel that you can follow the lead of this church, whether that's a leader that's in your hub or a leader that's on the core team, then this is not the right place for you. And there's no qualms about that. There's no shame in that. Because you should not be led by people unless you fully trust and believe that they serve you. If you haven't felt served by us, or if you haven't felt served by your leaders, don't put yourself under them. That's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. But here's the challenge that we, as Paul says, when you find people that serve, then submit to such people. And it's not because that's like, you know, a punishment. It's like, this is the best way for a community to move forward. This is the best way for us to live a life of love, where there is a leadership, but it's just radically different to the world's cultural leadership that is normally exercised, which is all about power, control, and privilege, and rights. This one is about leaders who are washing feet and giving their rights up. That the first people into the venue, the last people to leave. The ones that are pouring themselves out and praying and just sacrificing and sacrificing and sacrificing and sacrificing. And such people, I can submit to. And I honestly, so often in my life, I have to submit to other leaders. And they'll say things, and I think, I don't agree with that. I don't think that's the right decision, but I'm submitting to you because it's more important that we continue that unity of spirit. And then every now and again, things come around, and they say, yeah, you can have your morning service. I'm like, yes, thank you, Jesus. It only took 7 years, but now we're finally getting it. And it'll probably be in here. Isn't that great? We should have more fires. It just allows God to move. And again, it's not being recorded. It's all good. But, you know, we submit to leadership. We submit to one another. And that's really, really healthy. And then finally, and briefly, third level of submission, you submit to mentoring. You know, Paul, he says, again to the Corinthians, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So if I'm submitting to a community, I'm basically subjecting my own personal preferences and desires to a group for the benefit of the group. And most of us can see how that would be a healthy way of doing community. It doesn't work if everyone's trying to long-handle spoon it through. And we submit to leadership, which is a scary proposition unless the person is truly a servant. But when I submit to mentoring, I'm inviting someone else into my life and I'm saying, hey, I want to make an account to you. I want to allow you to come in on some of the insights, some of my decisions that I make. I have a number of people that I mentor, people who will, you know, not in every case, but I have a number of people who send me their internet histories, internet search histories, or so I can see, you know, what they've been up to. Or people say, you have the right to ask me questions about my morality. You have the right to ask me questions about my finances. You have the right to ask me questions about how I'm doing relationships. You have the right to ask me questions about how I'm behaving at work. Not because this is a controlling, top-down pyramid scheme, but because you are serving one another. We're serving each other. And we're making ourselves vulnerable. And that level of submission means that there are people that can actually speak into our lives. I have a guy that I see every Friday. We've walked together every Friday morning. We have breakfast. We go to the same coffee shop. And we walk and we pray and we make an account of our lives and I confess my sins to him. And we've been doing it for 13, 14 years, pretty much without fail. We've been with each other through hard times and through good times. We've walked on the downs over the years. We celebrate our children doing well. We mourn when his son was killed. But we walk together. We walk through the awful times of life. We walk through the good times of life. And there's a mutual submission. You know, to be able to submit to other people. To have someone to say, would you serve me by helping me follow the example of Christ? And let me follow your example. Things that I can learn from you. And it's a very, very humble thing. And that's why I say that there can be a reaction to some of this stuff. Because naturally, we feel, you know, we can feel, well, it's no one else's business. It's my life, do what I like. It's my money, I spend it how I like. No one needs to know about anything. It's my computer, I look at whatever I like. It's my phone, I'll do whatever I want on social media. But actually, it takes humility and it takes just trust and love to live this life of love when I'm inviting other people in. So those are three levels of submission. You know, this preach, like every other preach that I preach, submit it to other people. You know, every preach that I preach, I have someone else look at it. And that's very often it's Sam. And Sam will say, you can't say that. And so I'll take it out. Or he'll say, you should say that. And so I'll put it in. But we're all submitted. And honestly, if you don't find submitted servant leadership within this church, then find it somewhere else. Because there are plenty of other places that do it really, really well. We're doing our best. We really believe in this stuff. But you know what? If this stuff was easy, everybody would be doing it. If it was easy to have a self-sacrificial community where people were living a life of love, following the example of Christ all the time, if that was easy, you'd see it all over the shop. The reason that we're talking about this stuff is it's challenging, it's difficult. So I'd like us to pray. For some of us, this is an area where actually the thing that you need prayer for is that you have been hurt. There has been toxic or abusive, controlling leadership in your background and in your history. And if it's come from somewhere here, we need to talk about that. We need to ask you for forgiveness and get it sorted out. But I would suspect that it's probably somewhere that you've come from where you have felt that. Or maybe you felt the stuff about submission has been a stick to beat you down with. You're supposed to be submissive. You're supposed to be in your place. You're supposed to be quiet. You're supposed to be controlled. And we want to pray about that because actually there can be wounds. And that is one thing. But actually what they do is they stop us from being free in how we relate going forward. So it's important to get that stuff dealt with. Secondly, some of you actually you need to just ask for God to give you greater confidence. You think, actually, yeah, I feel I'm pretty good at level one, but level two really turns me off, and level three terrifies me. Or it may be that actually you're pretty good at all of them, but the level two stuff, that's the one where you just react against it. And all you need to do tonight is just say, God, would you help me? I'm saying this, we do baby steps. You know, this is a direction that we're moving towards, bit by bit by bit by bit. It's not going to happen overnight, but we can take a step forward in the right direction. And then there is others of us, and actually we just need to confess before God in a moment of quietness. Do you know, I tend to live, I'm a believer in meism. You know, I live with that, I've been infected with that poison. And I realize that I can't long-handle spoon my way through life in any meaningful, fulfilling way. So let's take some time and let's pray. Just invite the band to come back up.